do something just a little bit different. I've been thinking about something. I had actually watched a preacher yesterday, and he was saying some things that provoked me to thinking. It's something we'd actually taught on back, months ago, a year ago, I don't know. But he said it in a different way, in a much more eloquent way. And I've been thinking about it since then. And then I had a question asked me, and I'm going to be very vague with this, not to divulge any confidentiality. But I had a question asked was right in line with what I'd been meditating on, really, with what I saw yesterday. The question, and here again, this is in my words. Someone asked me what I thought about subjecting oneself to things that do not agree with God's Word. And we gave a concise answer to that. But here's what I want to talk to you about. Seed produces after its kind. Well, I know that. But do you? We would all say, I know that. But I don't think we have an understanding of what all seed is. In other words, we know that watermelon seed, pumpkin seed, tomato seed, or something like that. And we know that God's Word seed. But do we know that everything we're subjecting ourselves to, other people's words, words that are going into us, that they're seed as well? And I want to take you all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. And I'm going to read just some select verses here to just establish the fact. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind." This is what I want to point out. After its kind, okay? "Whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed," note this, "after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind." And then drop down to verse 21. It says, "God created great wells, and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly," note this, "after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind. And God saw that it was good." Then when you drop down to verse 24, God said, "Let the earth bring forth a living creature," note this, "after its kind, cattle and creeping things, beasts of the earth, after its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after its kind, and cattle after its kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after its kind. And God saw it was good." Now, I said all that to say that there is a law. We can call it a law of Genesis or whatever. But the law is, every seed produces after its kind. Right? Well, I know that. Well, then why do you allow seed to be sown into you that's going to produce a harvest you don't want? You follow me? Now, I asked myself off of the question that was asked me, are these things that one's subjecting himself to, or that I'm subjecting myself to, are these things innocent? It's all right. I mean, it's just a movie. It's just this. It's just that. Are they innocent? Are they harmless? Or are they harmful? And you may be surprised at what people are subjecting themselves to, and things are going on in their lives that they don't desire, and it's because wrong seed. has been sung, words are seed. I mean, if you look at Mark, the fourth chapter, he talks about God's, the sower sows the word, or the sower sows the seed, and then he gives the definition of what the seed is. He shows you the different conditions of the heart. Now, bad seed can be rejected just like good seed can be rejected. You follow me? So someone may come at you with some bad seed. You can reject that. It never goes into your heart. Consequently, it can't produce. See, the heart is the soil. And words are seed, good seed or bad seeds. But in order for that seed to produce, it needs soil to produce. Okay? And so, if you ever wondered why Jesus says, out of the heart proceeds all these evil things. Well, out of the heart proceeds fruit of the Spirit. I tell you. Right? So what's coming out of the heart is what goes into the heart. Jesus said it something like this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? And so we can judge what's going into our heart by what we say. What you believe in your heart produces conception. Now, this is real interesting when you think of it just in the natural of a woman becoming pregnant. You never get a little bit pregnant. You either are or you're not, right? And the only way that you can get pregnant is for seed to go in. But all seed that goes in doesn't produce. But seed that is received and conceived produces. And so where there is a conception, there is an expectancy. We use that word, expectant mother, right? There is an expectancy of what? An expectancy of a harvest of that seed, a delivery, if you will, in this particular case. So if a woman becomes pregnant, she doesn't lie awake at night wondering if it's going to be a dog, a cat, a horse, or a cow. She absolutely knows it's going to be a baby because seed produces after its kind. And it's going to be after the kind that got her pregnant. You understand? It's the same way. This is a spiritual principle that I'm wanting you to see the way this thing is alive in me. What I believe in my heart, there's a conception. You know, you can look at James to where he says, let no man say when he's tested, actually should be the way it should be translated. Let no man say when he's tested, God tested me. A man's tested when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now note this, and when that lust conceives, then it brings forth what? Sin? Well, let's look at it in another way. The truth of God's word conceived on the inside of you produced righteousness, didn't it? How did you get born again? By the word of God. As a matter of fact, 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. Okay? And so, we choose what we conceive. You follow me? Conception does not take place with a fleeting thought. I'm talking about a spiritual conception. A conception is when you have some type of revelation, whether it's a true revelation or a pseudo-revelation. The world will give you a pseudo, convincing you of truth when it's not true. We'll talk about this a little bit later, Romans chapter 1. They will live a lie. You understand? But here's the thing. They believe that's the truth. And many people today or believing lies to be the truth. They're listening to the wrong thing. They're subjecting themselves to wrong seed. And seed produces after its kind. Which brings me to the garden that God planted. You see in the second chapter of Genesis. In the midst of the garden, he planted two trees. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. What seed do you think the tree of the knowledge of good and evil will produce? Knowledge of good and evil. How about the tree of life? What seed will that produce? It will produce life. Isn't it interesting that the first man chose knowledge of good and evil over life? Isn't it more interesting that we haven't learned from his mistake? And that people today still would rather place themselves in a position of choice than to believe God. I will decide what's right and wrong. I won't let God decide that for me. In other words, rather than being led by the Spirit, I'm going to call my own shots. I'm going to reason this thing out. None of you have ever said that, have you? No. I'm going to reason this out. Well, when you're doing that, you are setting yourself up to determine what's right, what's good, what's evil, and then from your determination, you are going to believe your conclusion and allow that to be conceived on the inside of you and what's going to be produced. You're going to produce from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Did you know that good is the worst enemy of right? God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We forget that. We just think it's a tree of the knowledge of evil. And so when we're partaking of all this information that the world has to offer or the church or religious groups have to offer, we're taking all this in us, and then we are setting up on the judge's bench deciding as to what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad. I'll follow this, I won't follow that, rather than listening to the Spirit of God and the Word of God. You know what it produces in your life? If you take bad seed in, it produces bad harvest. That's probably not a good way to say it. But let me just say, if you put evil seed in, evil's coming out. And good that doesn't agree with right is evil. You know, back many years ago, the Lord just gave me a song. If right is right and wrong is wrong, how can good be bad? The ways of God aren't the ways of man. That's what His Word says. We must trust in God, obeying His command, and do just what He says. Then right's right, wrong's wrong, good will not be bad. But what if we don't? Then our good can actually turn out to be a bad thing. You with me? And we're still talking about seed, okay? So, and I'm still thinking about the question that was asked me. And back, I guess a couple of years ago now, I was up here one afternoon just talking to the Lord about wanting to know Him more. And the Spirit said to me, you can't know me more subjecting yourself to the things of the world. Well, I knew exactly what He was talking about. He didn't have to tell me a thing because I watched TV a lot. And so I made a decision right then. Those days are over. I don't need the TV. So I quit watching the TV. And I would watch Learning Channel and History Channel. But after pondering on that, this is what I thought about. When I watch something like that, I'll be meditating on it days later. I'll be thinking about what I saw and all this and all that. You know what that's doing? That's putting seed in me. Is it good seed? Well, it's not evil from the perspective of illegal. But it's occupying my mind. And my mind's on this and not on the things of God. That's why the Lord said to me, you won't get to know me in a more intimate way subjecting yourself to the things of the world. Like news. It's really not news, it's propaganda. It's really lies. And it's amazing how people will subject themselves to that, or they get into this political arena and start talking the politics, and it occupies their mind. Or they get into the athletic side and, you know, the baseball season and all that. They're keeping up with all the ball games. They're not going to miss this team playing, that team playing, and all this type of thing. What does it do? It occupies your mind. So you see the guy in the morning, he say, hey, did you watch so-and-so play last night? You know, that was a good game. They did this. And then they start telling you who made this play, who made that play, and who made this hit and hit this home run and all this type of stuff. It's occupied your mind. It's a seed that's gone in that's producing. And you don't even realize it's choking out the Word of God. You see, one of the things in Mark, the fourth chapter, it doesn't say the ground didn't produce. The seed went in, but it never produced fruit because the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things choked the Word. So what happens? You're taking an ungodly seed and allowing the ungodly seed to have dominance over the seed, the Word of God, and consequently God's Word's not producing because it's being not being nurtured, but this other seed is producing in your life because it is being nurtured. What are you pregnant with? That's what you're going to produce. You understand? Whatever you get pregnant with, that's what's coming. That's what you can expect. And many people at early ages have dreams in their life. Something's been conceived in their heart. And they may turn out to be highly successful people from the world's perspective and totally miss God's plan for their life. They got a harvest, but not a good harvest. Not a harvest of the Word of God. What you believe in your heart, this is conception. Do you understand the fruit of the Spirit is a heart thing? Spirit doesn't come from the natural man, it comes from the inward man, fruit of the Spirit. And when the love of God is sown in your heart to where you have the revelation, and this is the key to conception. Conception's not information, conception's revelation. We get a lot of information. But when that Word becomes a living reality to us, right, wrong, or indifferent, it's a conception. Okay? And so it works the same way whether it's evil or whether it's good. But if you think about this, faith is fruit. Fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Okay? So in order for faith to produce in your life, there has to be a conception. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, or faith comes by hearing God speak. What is that? That seed, you have a revelation of what God said. That seed comes in. You don't have to guess whether or not you're in faith. You heard God. And because you heard God, conception takes place. So you can expect a delivery. Or you can abort. And so many people start out well, but they get discouraged with circumstances and abort. It's not that there was anything wrong with the seed of the Word of God. They relinquished it, so it didn't produce in their life. We all get pregnant with something on a regular basis. You get up in the morning and you have this thought that you're going to do this, you're going to do that. It becomes such a reality on the inside of you that you follow through with that and you do it. Right? It's a spiritual principle. The same thing holds true with the Word of God. Just know, all seed produces after its own kind. So that's why he tells us in Proverbs 4 to guard our heart with all diligence. Why? The very forces of life come out of the heart. In other words, what's being conceived in your heart is what's going to proceed out of your heart. So what's going in, what's coming out? Pretty basic. It's really not hard to diagnose. I know what's going in me by what's coming out of me. You know, if you get around a person and they just talk filthy all the time, they're not meditating on the Word of God. They're meditating on filth. But if you get around a person and they're always talking about the Word of God, they're not meditating on filth. They're meditating on the Word of God. You with me? That's two extremes. I understand that. But do you talk more about the natural than you do the spiritual? You follow me? In Romans, the first chapter, and actually in verse 25, I alluded to this a while ago, but I just want to read it to you. And I'm going to read it to you with the correct translation, all right? Who exchanged, not changed, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Not into a lie. You can't make God's word a lie. You can exchange truth for a lie, and worshiped and served the created more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, deception will reproduce. And if you go on and you look at this and you see that this is talking about homosexuality, lesbianism, it's a seed that's sown into a person and they exchange truth for a lie, and the lie produces. The seed produces. What does it produce? After its kind. You know, as I was eating lunch today, I got so irritated. I was just positioned in a place to where a TV was right in front of my nose. And I prefer to have my back to that. And then it was some ungodly news, you know, Pride March and all this kind of stuff. One thing after another, just negative, and I'm trying my best. Where do I look? How can I get away, get my eyes off of this? You know, if I look over here, do people think I'm staring at them? And I sat there and I fought that. Get that out of my mind. All this ungodly filth. Can't you find anything else to do? Cut the thing off. I don't sit there and enjoy a meal when I'm agitated with the surroundings and the environment. You understand? I just soon not eat. Because I certainly don't want to eat that garbage and get that in. So I have to work to keep that out of me. You follow me? No, I'm not going to let conception take place to where I start meditating on this thing. You with me? Because what they'll do with the media and all that, they will tell you that God's wrong in Romans 1 and the world's right and the Christians are stupid and the perverts are the wise ones. Now the sad part about this is so many people have been duped by that they follow the lie, they take that seed into their heart, and then that seed comes out of their heart to the very point that they say, I was made this way. No, you weren't. If you're confused about whether or not you're a boy or a girl, go to the bathroom and inspect yourself. Is that plain enough? That's how you were created. Get in agreement with your Creator and quit trying to pervert because somebody is putting some ungodly seed into your life. It's the same way with religious beliefs. Anything someone's trying to put into you, go to the Word of God and see if God agrees with that Word. You're being subjected to. And if God's not in agreement with it, reject it. Don't let the conception take place. I'm telling you that it's harder to root it out. I grew up in strong legalism and all this type teaching, and to get that out of me was a chore. And when I think I've got the ground clear, something comes up. And I think I didn't know that was there. And so it's a constant thing that you're working with. You know, the beauty of this bad seed going in is you can uproot it. Dig it up. It's all right to abort bad seed. Get it out of you. Because if you don't, you are guaranteed a harvest. It will produce after its kind. I've heard ministers, you know, they do this when they're receiving an offering, okay? Taking. Put that money in your hand, hold it up, name your seed. How dumb can you be? So the farmer goes out there with watermelon seed and says, this is going to produce tomatoes. There's no farmer in the world that dumb. And yet Christians fall for this kind of stuff. They're falling for all this stuff that's coming across the TV and coming out of pulpits and telling you that you can do this and you can do that. God's already set it in place. Everything produces after its own kind. What are you sowing? That's what it's going to produce. It's not naming your seed. It's recognizing your seed. And then you'll know what harvest to expect. You follow me? I just saw where a woman thought she had kidney stones and gave birth to triplets. Now, are you going to believe that? I'm not. No. I know when I'm pregnant. Through the Word of God. You with me? How many of you believe that when conception takes place in a woman that she becomes pregnant? You believe that, right? How many of you have ever been pregnant? I haven't. I believe it. And that's where so many people are today. They believe it because of someone else's experience, but they've never actually become pregnant with the Word of God to where the Word of God is producing in their life. Seed produces after its kind. God's Word is going to produce what God says it's going to produce. Isaiah tells us that He watches over the Word. You understand? That Word is going to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. It will prosper in the thing God sent it to do. I can't manipulate that seed. You follow me? I can't manipulate the Word of God to make it produce something I want. within the seed, within the Word, is the capacity inherent in there. It has all the ingredients to produce what it says. When God speaks a word, within that word is everything needed to make it produce. All it needs is to go into soil that will allow it to produce. That's our part. That's where we have to cooperate with it. Same way with bad seed. Bad seed's going to produce after its kind too. A lot of people's lives have been devastated by bad words going into their hearts from the time they're small. You'll never amount to anything. All this type thing. You know what happens? You start believing it. And you know what happens then? You get pregnant. You get pregnant with failure. And you know what that produces? Failure. To where you live out all your life and you're just mediocre, never producing anything. You know, you're just sort of a wallflower type thing, when yet you had the potential to excel had you agreed with the Word of God. God doesn't have failures in His Word. And I've learned this about prophetic words. They're always words that have within them the power to produce. All you have to do is believe it. But just because God says it to you doesn't mean conception took place. You with me? You have to believe in your heart, not mentally assent in your head. And when you believe in your heart, you become pregnant with that word. And that word produces. I know it by experience. You know, from early on, the Lord started speaking. People would speak things in me by the Spirit. And I didn't understand it. Did any of you understand how seed grows and produces? No. I just hold on to it. And I'm not going to just go off of the deep end, but I'm not going to reject it either. If this is God, then it's going to come to pass. I'm not going to speak against it. I'm not going to work against it. I will cooperate with that word, but I'm not going to make it happen. Either God has the ability to do it, or it's not going to happen. God says that His arm's not short. You understand? He's not a man that He can lie. He doesn't have to renege on any promise and say, I shouldn't have said that. Because He can bring to pass everything He says. In that word is the ability for that word to produce after its kind. Be cautious what you're allowing to go into your heart. Be cautious what you're subjecting yourself to. It may be innocent. Oh, well, I'm getting a spiritual principle out of that. I can get a spiritual principle out of perverse dives. You understand? I can go in there and learn spiritual principles because we operate off of spiritual principles. The world operates off of spiritual principles. Any Hollywood movie, you can draw a spiritual principle from it. But I suggest you not subject yourself to that, because the spiritual principle is not going to be the thing that permeates your life. You know, 25 years later, you still know the characters and what they've done and various scenes and all this type thing. You tell me that didn't take root? But what do you know about the Word of God 25 years later? Did that take root in your life? If not, why? Because other things choked it out, or it was rejected to begin with. See, some people just immediately reject the Holy Spirit and with the gifts, and you know, they just immediately reject that. That's a stony soil. You understand? And consequently, that seed of the Word doesn't produce in their life because it never penetrates their heart. A lie penetrated. A lie was conceived. And now a lifestyle is lived according to what? After the kind of that seed. What was put in them. Guard your heart with all diligence. Seed are being sown into us every day. We don't even know it. It can be good friends. It can be family. It can be enemies. It can be any type of media, books you read, whatever, music you listen to. Seed will go into you. As a matter of fact, you know, back years ago, I was doing a study because of a situation that had occurred, and somebody was coming to me for counsel. And so I started studying some things about the lyrics in rock music and what it was producing and the crime that was being committed immediately after a person listening to go kill your sister or go rape your sister or go do this. These are lyrics and songs. But it's hidden with all the ungodly deafness and perverted beats, distortion. And so that's a big thing today. Distortion. What is it? Distortion is exactly what it says. You're perverting a truth. And so if I take a musical note and distort it, it's no longer the purity of the musical note. But it has an effect. Not many years ago, I went to a seminar on music. And it was very interesting of what music can do and how they can actually control your demeanor with music. They can cause you to move fast. They can cause you to move slow. They can cause you to get upset, uptight, or they can soothe you down with music. Easy listening. What's it for? To relax you. But isn't it interesting how in our religious arena that some of our songs are sort of like rock music, that it doesn't relax you, it gets you tense. I remember, you know, my kids were at home. One of them especially was listening to what I just called hard rock music, even though it had Christian title to it. And he was playing a song, and I said, cut that off right now. I don't want to hear it. Anything that agitates me to the point that I want to slap somebody is not God. And you get yourself worked up with these things. What is seed going in that's producing after its kind? You follow me? I'm not telling you what genre of music. I'm not telling you what tempo of music. That's not the issue. The issue is, it a perversion? A distortion? Is it true? It's going to produce. Are you going to be pleased with the harvest when you stand before the Lord? That's the bottom line. Not only with music, but with anything else in our life. What am I allowing to come into me? That's what's going to come out of me. You with me? Seed produces after its kind. Don't ever forget. Amen? Okay?